Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome back to the weekly radio broadcast of Independence Baptist Church. You know, we're thrilled to be bringing you another message from God's Holy Word. And in fact, the message today is part one of a two-part series on the very beginning of the Bible. In the message, we're going to ask the question, do you believe in the Bible? And if so, how about that very first chapter of Genesis where it talks about how God created the world? So I'd encourage you to listen in as Pastor Reynolds starts a message on the creation of the world.
In Genesis 1 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." This is an amazing statement. In the very beginning, the earth and the heavens were created by God. This is a fact that many people would love to disallow, but they cannot alleviate this very important fact that the earth and the heaven were created by God Himself. Many well-educated scientists do not believe that God has created the heaven and the earth, even though the Bible very clearly states that He did. The whole argument boils down to a very simple terms. Do you believe the Bible? Or do you believe the Bible is not true? So, do you believe Genesis 1 and verse number 1? You know, today, I'm speaking from a viewpoint that is many years after I was young. I'm speaking from a viewpoint of much study from the Bible. And today, I can truthfully say that I know that God has created the world about 6,000 years ago. But there was a day that I did not know this very important fact. I was taught in Sunday school. I was taught in public school. I was taught in my home that God had created all of this world and that we were accountable unto God. But I did not know personally that God had created this earth. I was taught that, but I did not know it personally. There came a day in my life that I had to learn for myself the truth of the Word of God. There came a day when I had to pick up my Bible myself and to read it for myself to understand this very vital truth. It wasn't enough just to take somebody else's word for it, but I needed to know that God had literally spoken the worlds into existence. I had to know that for myself. So I'm not against anybody that has a doubt about the creation of the world. I'm not against them at all. I want you to understand that. But I know that in the beginning, God has created the heaven and the earth. I don't think that God is against people that don't understand that God has created the heaven and the earth in the first day. I don't believe that God is against them at all. And there's a reason that I believe that God looks over people and God wants people to understand that He has created all of this world. The fact is, you see, the Bible says in the book of 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. God has given to each of us His word that we might study, that we might learn it, that we might understand how God created this world and how we ought to serve the living and the true God. So I believe that God wants us to understand. That's why He's put them in the Bible, that we might understand those things, that we might be true to Him. This morning, I want to read to you several places in the Bible that speak about the creation of the world. These passages that I want to read are from the Old Testament, and they're from the New Testament as well. God wants you to understand this very vital truth. I don't think that God wants you to be misled by all of the so-called science that's going on in this world today. I believe that God wants you to be settled because His Word settles your heart. Look in the book of Ephesians 3 and verse number 9. That's Ephesians 3 and verse number 9. The Bible said, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. Notice this passage in the book of Ephesians 3 and verse number 9. The Bible said here that God wants all of us to understand the fellowship of the mystery of Christ, which from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. This is a very important passage, Ephesians 3 and verse 9, that God wants us to understand this very vital truth, not only the fellowship of the mystery, but also to understand how God has created the heaven and the earth, and know that it's so, because the Bible says that it's so. I know the devil is out today to deceive many people. The devil is doing a lot of things to cause a lot of people to misunderstand or misread or whatever the Word of God. I know that Satan has put a lot of false Bibles out there in this world today. But the truth is that the Bible, the King James Version of the Bible, is a good book. God wants you to understand this very vital truth. I know that you can be saved by reading some other version of the Bible. I don't doubt that at all. I don't doubt that you can come to many truths if you just read another version of the Bible. I know that. But if you want the whole truth of the Word of God, you can find it only in the King James Version. Notice another place in the book of Colossians 1, verse 16 and verse number 17. Colossians 1, verse 16 and verse 17. The Bible said here, "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." This is a marvelous statement again in Colossians 1, verse 16 and verse number 17. The Bible said here that God has created all things that are in heaven and all things that are in earth. Whether you can see them or whether you can't, God has made all of these things. All of these things were created by God himself. Why? For the glory of himself, that we might be able to see his power and his strength. Notice also in the book of 2 Timothy 4 and verse number 4. The Bible said here, "For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving." Every creature of God is good. Every creature of God is good. Understand what the Bible is saying here. Sometimes, you see, we believe that some animals are good and some animals are bad. But the Bible says, for every creature of God is good. That's what the Bible says. Very plainly, God has created all of these animals for our sake. Understand that that's so. God loves us, and God has given to us every animal that we might have an ease of life. God has given us every animal that we might have companionship. God has given that to us, and we need to understand that it is so. Look in Revelation 4 and verse number 11. Again, we're talking about the creation of this world. We're talking about how that God has created the heaven and the earth, and he did that in 6 literal days and rested on the Sabbath day. That's what the book of Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2 talk about. In the book of Revelation 4 and verse number 11, the Bible said here, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And then the Bible says, "For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Revelation 4, verse number 11 goes along with 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 4. God has created everything upon this earth. There's nothing that is left for man to do except to enjoy the good things of God, and to rest in His pleasure, and just to be happy that God has given us life. You see, the Bible says, "For Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." This is a great thing. Look in the book of Psalms 89 and verse 11 and verse number 12. Psalms 89, verse 11 and verse 12. The Bible said here, "The heavens are thine, the earth also is thine. For as the world and the fullness thereof, thou hast formed them. The north and the south, thou hast created them." So all of these things God has blessed us with. The heavens belong unto the Lord. The earth belongs unto the Lord. But you know, there was a day when I didn't know this. There was a day when I had never studied this very vital truth. There was a day when I was lacking in this very important truth, that the worlds were created by God. I was saved at the time. I had been called to preach at the time. But you know, I did not know that God had created all of this world. I did not understand this very vital truth, that God has created the heaven, that He's created the earth, and that everything belongs unto Him. In the book of Isaiah 40 and verse number 26, the Bible says in this verse that God has created everything. The Bible said here, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth." Notice the Bible said here, "Lift up your eyes on high." And here God is wanting you. God is wanting me. God is wanting all of this world to lift up their eyes on high and behold God, because God has made all of these things. That's what the Bible said in Isaiah 40 and verse number 26. The Bible said, "That bringeth out their host by their number. He called them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For he that is strong in power, not one faileth." You know, this tells us the greatness of Almighty God. This tells us the strength of God. Because God remembers the names of all of the constellations of the heavens. And when I don't know a one of them, God knows what He's called them. This is a marvelous thing. God knows about everything. God knows it all. I want you to trust in the living God, because He has made the heaven and the earth. And we are just recipients of His grace. And we need to rest on that and just look unto Him. Look in Isaiah 45 and verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible states here that God has formed the light. He's created darkness. And He makes peace. And He creates evil. That's in Isaiah 45 and verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible said here, "That they might know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord and there is none else." He says in verse number 7, "I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things." This is a proclamation of the things that God does. Notice, the Bible said, "I form the light." God has made the light. Now, you might say, "Well, my light is made by the electric company because I just turn on the switch and the light comes on." We're not talking about artificial light. We're talking about the real light, the sun. God has made the sun, and God even made the darkness. That is exactly what He said. He also says this. He says, "I make peace." And the Bible says, "I create evil. That's what God said. All for His glory. All for His honor and His praise. The Bible said, I, the Lord, do all these things. I pray that you might understand that God is God and that God can do anything at all. In Mark 10 and verse number 6, just in case anybody might not believe yet, Jesus said, but from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That's in Mark 10 and verse number 6. Jesus Christ Himself said, from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. This tells me that creation was by God and God alone. God didn't ask man if it was okay. God didn't ask man how to do it. But God simply spoke, and the worlds came into existence. Today, I pray that you might have confidence in knowing that God is God. This is why that we've read all of these passages to you. These passages, I did not know at one point in my ministry. I did not know at one point in my life. I did not understand how God had created everything upon this earth, and that science, true science, not false science, but true science, had only discovered the things that God had allowed them to discover. False science, however, is like the teaching of evolution. I don't believe the world is billions of years old at all, but I believe the world is only 6,000 years old. But I want you to understand that I didn't understand this very vital truth at the very beginning. But it came to me as I studied the Word of God. That's why that I quoted 2 Timothy 2, verse 15 to you at the beginning. That we ought to study the Word of God, that we might understand what God wants us to understand. You see, the Bible gives us the only exact history of the age of the earth. One time, when I preached on this message, the 6,000-year earth, I was rebuked. Well, I was rebuked because people said I couldn't know how old the earth was. But I do know how old the earth was because I proved it for myself. I just used the Bible as my textbook. And I wrote a book concerning this. It's on our church's website. It's called The 6,000-Year Earth. If you have never read that, I pray today that you might just take it down and just read it, that you might understand where I'm coming from on this very vital truth. You see, if you just take the Bible, you can prove from the Bible that the earth is 6,000 years old. All you got to do is to prove the genealogies of it. I mean, that's what those genealogies are there for you to read those and for you to understand that that is so. The fact is this, that you need to know that we're headed for judgment. You need to know that God has created us for His glory and for His honor. And God wants to use us in the way that He wants to use us. We are His servants. He is the King. He is the Master. He is the Lord. He is the one that has created us out of nothing at all. And He has given us life. And He has given us hope in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that you can ever find hope in this life, is when you submit yourself to Almighty God. Now, I do realize that there's a lot of people in this world that don't have hope in Christ. I know that. I know also that there's a lot of people in this world that don't want hope in Christ. I know that as well. But I'm talking to those people that are just confused about all that. I'm talking to people that just want to understand that God can bless you in your life. I know that there's people that don't want the things of God. The book of Ecclesiastes 7 and verse number 29 states this: God has made man upright, but he has sought out many inventions. And this is absolutely the way it is. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 29 states there that God has made man upright, God made man without any sin whatsoever. But man has sought out many inventions. Remember Genesis 1 and verse number 31, which states, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day." Also remember this, that God had a personal touch in creating man. God loves man. The Bible says in the book of Genesis 2 and verse number 7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground," and notice this very vital truth, "and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." God didn't form the beasts of the field like he created man, nor did he breathe into them the breath of life. God did not form the birds of the air as he created man, nor did he breathe into them the breath of life. God knew what he was doing when he personally formed man of the dust of the ground. He understood what he was doing when he personally breathed into man he personally created from the dust of the ground. You see, it was the breath of God that gave men life. Mankind, therefore, is much better off than any animal, because he breathes with the breath of God, not the breath of an animal. There's a difference between the breath of an animal and the breath of God. God has breathed into the very nostrils of man, and he's caused man to have a living spirit. An animal only has two parts. That is a body and a soul. A body that can move and a soul that feels everything. But a man has a spirit living within him. And this spirit God has given to him when he created him by breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. God did create man. And he created man absolutely perfect, but subject to falling. You see, believers are better off than Adam, because we can't fall. Once we are saved by the grace of Almighty God, we're eternally redeemed. We're eternally saved. We can have perfect understanding if we understand things as God understands them. We can also have a perfect will if we simply agree with the will of God. We can have perfect affections as God has, orderly, pure, and holy. We can even understand the things that God wants us to understand. The Bible said in Hebrews 11, verse number 3, we understand through faith the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Notice this passage again, Hebrews 11, verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. The creation of this world, you see, is believed by faith, not just by believing science. The worlds were framed. That is, the worlds were completely joined together. The worlds were completed thoroughly by the word of the living God. I'm glad today that we can believe what God has spoken to us in the book of Genesis 1 and verse number 1. I'm glad it's not a fake. I'm glad it's not a put-on. I'm glad there's hope given to me in the Bible. I'm glad that there's life, real life, everlasting life that I shall have after death. I'm glad that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, has come into the world and died that I might have life. That I might have it more abundantly because he loves me. I'm glad that there's hope in this life. I'm glad that I don't live a hopeless life. I feel sorry for people that have no hope at all. I feel sorry for people that want to impress others with themselves. You know what? The fact is that people don't need to see me, but they need to see Jesus Christ. He is the only one that can wash away all of your sins. He's the only one that can bless you as you live. Today, I pray that you might turn to Him and trust Him that you might be saved. Look again in the book of Exodus 20 and verse number 9 through verse number 11. The Bible said here, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Why? Why did God say to the nation of Israel that He didn't want them to work on the Sabbath day? The Bible said in verse number 11, Exodus 20 and verse number 11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and then He rested on the Sabbath day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God doesn't want us to work on the Sabbath day. That is on Sunday today. God doesn't want us to go out to our jobs on those days. God doesn't want that at all. God wants us to be at rest with Him on this one day a week. You see, but the world, they don't like that at all. The world wants to carry on with their produce. The world wants to carry on with all the things that they would do. But God said, that's not the thing that you ought to do. God wants us to be content to dwell with Him. We rest on the Sabbath day because God did. And He commands us to rest. Our rest should also include worshiping God in spirit and in truth, and not in going out and buying something that you don't have to buy. Listen, God honors this. God blesses if we would just worship Him in spirit and in truth. I know that He will. But today, you think about the passage in the book of Genesis 1, verse number 1, where the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. If God had not created the heaven and the earth, there would not be a heaven and an earth. But today, we need to recognize the power of God, in that He has created all of the heavens, and that He has created the earth as well for us to live in. And God has done this to show us that He is very well able to bless. We pray for you that you might trust the Lord and search His Word diligently, that you might find out for yourself this very valuable truth.
Thank you, Brother Wayne. I really appreciate that message on how God created the world. And I'm absolutely looking forward to next week as you finish up on this great topic about creation. Matter of fact, if this topic has piqued your interest, I'd encourage you to log on to our website at www.independencebaptist.org and check out the link on the left-hand side of the screen called 6,000-Year Earth. It's a link to a very detailed explanation of how the Bible estimates the current age of the earth. And there's some other resources and links in there as well about God's creation of the world. Now, we are about out of time this morning, but we do want to invite you to attend services with us. We're going to be having Sunday school at 10 a.m., worship services at 11 a.m., prayer meeting at 3:45, and then afternoon worship services at 4:30. You can find us at 124 South Main Street in Forestdale, Missouri. And not just this morning services, but we also want to remind you that we're going to be having our yearly revival services the week of July 24th through the 28th. And we absolutely love to be able to have you there with us. We're going to be having morning services at about 10 and then evening services at 7:30. Again, that's the week of July 24th. Well, our time is up this morning, but we are thankful you were able to listen, and we trust you'll be able to join us again next Sunday at 8 a.m. for another message about God's creation of this world.